evil men tried to stop him. But the powers of darkness and not even death itself could stop Jesus. He finished his work on the cross, but he had only just began building his church. Today, he is still calling out to the weary, the broken, and the lost. He is still healing, changing lives, and resurrecting dead hearts. For anyone who desires to come after him, for anyone who will deny themselves and take up their cross daily, for anyone who will lose their life for his sake, they will still find life. They will still be made new. They will become Jesus followers.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to the new series here at Vertical. I'm so excited for what God has in store for us over these next weeks and what he's going to teach us about what it means to truly follow Jesus. So I don't know if you looked in your mailbox this week and got this lovely piece of literature. Yeah, the North Ellis County Now featuring this lovely couple, Truett and Chloe. Truett, our youth director here at the church, and his wife, who also happens to be our youngest son. Yes, that's awesome. So, take a look at that. It was a great story. They chose him to write a story about his life and family. So check that out at the North Ellis County Now. You can also look online if you didn't get a copy in the mailbox. So we start our new series today, Jesus Follower. And, you know, Jesus invited people to follow him. He didn't call them to a list of rules. He didn't call them to a religion. In fact, he called them out of dead religion. He called them away from just keeping the law. He called them to follow him. He called them to walk with him, to learn an entirely different way of life from him. He called them to walk away from empty religion. He called them to find forgiveness. He called them to give forgiveness. He called them to receive mercy. He called them to give mercy to others. He called them to something that was completely different, and they would learn it as they followed him, as they walked down the path with Jesus. And Jesus is still calling followers today. And Jesus gave one requirement for those who would follow him. And here's what he said in Luke 9:23. He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus said, if you're gonna follow me, here's the only thing that I ask, that you be willing to lay down your own natural interest, your own natural way of thinking, and be ready to even take up your cross daily. Be willing to walk in such a way that you die to your own desires, your own natural ways, all that the world has. Be ready to walk in complete contradiction to all that is out there. Come after me and follow me, because this is the requirement. So we start our series today with our message called Followers Embrace Their Cross. If you're gonna follow Jesus, we have to do what Jesus said. You have to be willing to deny yourself and to take up your cross daily, Jesus said, and follow him. Because each one of us have learned a way of life. It just came natural with the package of being a person first, but it also came natural with growing up in this world. We learned a way of life. We learned a way that we're taught to think. We learned a way about how to relate. We learned a way about how life works. And Jesus says, I have something greater than all of that. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. I have a way. But here's the deal. You're going to have to lay all of that aside. Be willing to deny yourself. In fact, you're going to have to do the work of taking up your own cross and dying to yourself, not just once, but daily. He said, this is what it looks like to follow me. This is the way of life. So in our series, our last series, we had a daily Bible reading that we recommended everyone. If you wanted to follow, you certainly could. Do the same with this series today. We'll put this on screen. You can follow this on our app or on our social media. But here it is. If you want to take a picture with your phone, you're welcome to. Here's a daily reading for this week that follows along with the theme of this message today. So keep up with it daily, and you'll see the tie-in as you read along each day, and you'll see what God is doing through us all, I believe, as a body, and what he's calling us to. So let's start with this truth today, that Jesus is calling followers, but he's leading us as he calls us. He's leading you to resurrection. Some people have the idea that Jesus has come to make people's lives miserable, that he's come to really be angry at you and cast you down and make your life sad and terrible. No, that's not the case at all. In fact, Jesus has come to lead you to resurrection. He has come to bring you to a place that you haven't been before. He's come to give you life that you've not known before. If you want to draw along on your page or something there, feel free to. I'm going to draw some stuff on the board today, because Jesus invites us to resurrection. He invites us to a life that we've not known before, a life that is filled with peace with God, that is filled with joy, that is filled with meaning, that is filled with purpose. He's called us to experience the life that he came to give, resurrection life, where you are resurrected out of your guilt, out of your fear, out of your shame, out of everything you've walked in before. Jesus says, I have a way of life for you, and it starts with resurrection, so that you leave where you've been and you go to where I am. This is where Jesus leads us, is all the way to the empty tomb, to lead you and I out of guilt, fear, depression, out of having to give in to temptation, being a slave of addiction. He calls us to quit living for the praise of people, to die to all of that and live in resurrection power, where you are not a slave to what everybody else thinks. He calls us to resurrection power, that you don't have to live in the fear that somehow your sins are gonna catch up with you and keep you out of heaven. You can know resurrection life. He's called us away from emptiness. He's called us away from being addicted to our own pleasures and our own passions and all your urges and desires. In spite of what the world says today, Jesus offers life beyond all of that, a life of freedom. Amen? He calls us to permanent peace with God, where you can walk knowing, I will be in heaven when I die. You can know that. This is resurrection life. He called us to walk free from the weight of guilt upon us all the time, the nagging replay of past sins, the nagging fear of what's gonna happen one day in heaven, the nagging fear of all of that, so that instead your soul is filled. There's meaning in every part of your life. There's power over temptation. You have the ability and power and strength to say no and to say yes to him. This is what he's leading us to. This is the kind of life he's called us to. And it's to be here in this life. He's come to give us resurrection life. And Jesus knows the path that you need to get there. It's the path that he took to life. Jesus, his path ended at an empty tomb. It was from there that he would walk with his disciples a little bit longer, but it was from here that he would ascend back to the Father, and it's here that our faith comes alive at the empty tomb. And you and I are meant to walk in that kind of resurrection power. But to get to an empty tomb, Jesus had to go through something else. Jesus had to walk to and through the cross. Before he could know resurrection life, he had to walk in death. And so when Jesus calls us to take up our cross daily, this is not the end point. This is the end point. But to get to this, you and I have to go through this. You have to come through the cross of Jesus. And Jesus leads you and I to your cross. You have a cross to bear. I have a cross to bear. And I want to be very clear about what this cross is for you. Your cross is not your payment for your sin. Are you with me? You are not living now to pay off your past sin debt. Only a sinless Savior could pay your debt. And he did on the cross. So you and I walking through life carrying our cross is not to pay off our sin debt. God is not looking for you and I to somehow do enough good to make up for our bad. You, I don't care how long you live, could never pay the price for your sin. Only a sinless Savior from heaven could do that. Amen? So when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, let's be very clear. It's not for you to pay off your sin. So why then are we called to take up our cross daily? Because of this. You and I are born with a will inside us. And that will doesn't naturally want to surrender, yield, be humble, and be broken. Hello? We naturally want to do some other things that have to be removed from our life. Here are some things that you and I have to get removed from our life. The very will that says, I will do it myself. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Leave me alone. I got this. I don't need anybody's help. Nope. That. I'll do it myself. Back off. I get that sometimes when you're working around the house. I get it. But when it comes to life, this and God can't go in the same space. If you want to know this, you're going to have to get rid of this here. You have to die daily to this, to the will that says, I'll do it myself. I don't need anybody else's help, and I don't need God's help. I got this. I'll do what I want when I want. The other thing that's natural to us is being stubborn. I'm not going to do it. I'll do it myself. I'm not going to do it your way. I don't care what you say. I'm not doing it. Nope. No. That absolute stubborn resistance that is just natural to all of us. No, don't blame that on your neighbor's kid that your kid got it from him. It's just not the way it works. It came with him. It came with you. It came in all of us. Hello? It's just part of who we are. And that has to go if you want to experience that in your life. This is why Jesus would say, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow me, because this has to go. I'll tell you what else has to go. Don't tell me what to do. Ooh. Hello? Man, we're all feeling this today. When all of a sudden government edicts are coming down about some stuff that we really don't want to do, there's part of that that we should righteously say, I'm not doing that. Hello, you know what I'm talking about here, right? I mean, there's some, we should follow and honor the government authorities that, I'm just going to get off of this subject. Yeah, I should remember another time, go back, listen to more other messages, you can deal with some of that. But the will within us that says, God, don't tell me what to do. The will in us that says to people around us, don't tell me what to do. That has to go from our life when it comes to relating to God. Because the only way you can walk and follow Jesus is by doing what he wants you to do. So you can't do what he wants you to do if you got some don't tell me what to do in you, right? It has to go. It has to leave. It has to be part of our own taking up our cross and dying to this stuff. I'm not paying for sin with my cross, but I am having this stuff removed from my life with the cross. Are you with me? All right, let's keep going. And then another part that has to go if you want to follow Jesus is the desire to always look good. I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to look like I don't have my stuff together. I don't want to look like I have needs. I don't want to look like I might cry. I don't want to look like I need help from other people. Well, you're going to have a hard time following Jesus if you're more concerned about your looks than the condition of your heart. Because there's times you have to humble yourself and make yourself look like an absolute fool before the world. That's just the way it is. If you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to be willing to do that. There were some people who heard Jesus and said, I want to follow him. And Jesus would turn and he would lay out the conditions. And some said, never mind. They chose not to follow because they weren't willing to pick up their own cross in order to get to the resurrection. They wanted all that without having any of this. And there's a lot of people today who live wanting all of that, but not willing to do this. And they wonder why their life is an absolute wreck. You follow people who have this just built into their daily routine. This is just what you hear coming out of their mouth. This is what you see coming out of their life. This is what they are in their heart. Those are the folks that are struggling. Those are the folks that are just filled with turmoil inside because they have built up a wall and said, I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to humble myself. I don't want anybody to see me weak. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Because here's the thing that he's trying to get us to. He wants us to die to this, but he wants us to live like this, so that we are humble, so that we are willing to do what he wants. And we are bowed in our hearts and we are submissive to him. Our heart is set at a place where we are humble. We're not filled with arrogance. We're not filled with pride. We're not filled with look at me and how great I am. We're not. No, all of that stuff disappears for the follower of Jesus. They are humble before him. And they're not afraid even to be vulnerable. They're not afraid to put themselves in a place where others see them in need. And I get it. 21st century American mindset often says, I'm the rugged individual, and I can get my stuff together and I can take care of my life and I don't need anybody's help. I get all that, especially here in Texas. Hello, that's just part of who we are, right? Don't tell me what to do. There's a place for some of that. But when it comes to following Jesus, that has to take a way back seat to whatever he asks and commands. And if that means I will be humble and vulnerable, and I will go and ask someone to forgive me for what I said, what I did, I do it. If that means he calls me to go and show mercy to someone, if that means he calls me to go and reconcile with someone that I've been at odds with, who's been at odds with me, to go and try to make things right, if that means I'm gonna stand before my family and say, I have been a failure as a dad, I've been a failure as a husband, but by God's grace from this point forward, I'm gonna live for him. This is what we do, because this is what Jesus' followers do. They deny themselves and they take up their cross daily and follow him. They're not afraid to be humble. They're not afraid to be vulnerable. In fact, they're not only not afraid, they actually pursue that. They go after being humble and vulnerable and even being submissive, even to the point that they're willing to yield and do whatever Jesus says. No matter how awkward, uncomfortable, different it might be, but they are in a position that says, Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. If it makes me look like a fool before others, I'm okay with that because I know I found favor in your sight. And favor with God means a whole lot more than looking a fool before the world. Amen? Jesus' followers are humble. They're vulnerable, they're submissive, and they're not afraid to be weak. The Apostle Paul, before he became a Jesus follower, was a man filled with all of this. Oh, he was very religious. He was very strong. In fact, he was top-notch religious guy. He knew the law. He kept the law. He persecuted followers of Jesus because they wouldn't keep the law. And he was all of this until he met Jesus. And Jesus completely transformed his heart and set him free. And he became every bit of this. Oh, there were times it was a struggle for him. But it would be so much so that the Apostle Paul would say, "When I am weak, then I know I am strong, because then he gets all the glory and I am completely dependent on him." So Jesus followers, this is what we look like. This is what used to be us. And here's the deal. God is working to bring you all the way from here, wherever you are today, all the way to here. He wants you to experience life and peace and purpose and passion and joy and reconciliation with your family and joy in your home. But to get to that, you've got to be this and you've got to go through this. Now, God so knows each one of us that he knows exactly what pain, pressure, and struggle that each of us need to get this out of us, this out of us, and this and this. He knows exactly what's necessary. And so he will faithfully apply the pressure. He will bring into our lives exactly what we need. So each of us have our own weight that we brought into our life, pressures, struggles. And God will use those to cause this to be our heart, right? When we don't and we resist, he will actually apply more pressure, more tension, more struggle until our heart breaks and this becomes true of us. Now, this is where sometimes I think we misapply a verse that we've heard in the Bible, because I have said in the past, well, you can be sure that God will not put more on you than you are able to bear. Heard that, right? Sadly, if that's the way you've heard it inaccurately. That's not what the verse says. So I thought we would take a look at the verse today so that we understand this. Because if you miss this, then you can't get from here to here to here and here. Here's what the verse in Corinthians says, 1 Corinthians 10. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." What's the subject here? Temptation. Temptation. In other words, being potentially led astray, having an opportunity to disobey, having a testing in a sense of your faith. But temptation is not a weight. Temptation is not pressure. Temptation is not a struggle. Are you with me? Those are two very different things. The passage goes on. It says, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." Tempted. Not face stress, not face struggle, not face pressure, or even go through pain. Tempted. "But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So when it comes to temptation, you can know that whenever temptation comes, it's come just like it comes to every man or woman who's ever lived. And with it, there will always be a way of escape. You always have a choice to make when it comes to temptation. That is what Paul was talking about. He was not talking about pressure and weight and difficulty and trials. Because sometimes God uses trials to bring us to the end of ourselves. If that wasn't true, then somebody owes an apology to Jesus for what he went through. And here's what the Apostle Paul later went on to say about his own struggles and trials. He said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia." So Paul's in ministry at this point. He's traveling about, and they went through all kinds of troubles. I mean, shipwreck, snake bite, persecution, imprisonment, beatings. He went through just all kind of trouble. And you think, dude, what in the world? Why are you going through all that stuff? Why are you going through so much stress and struggle and strain? He goes on, he says, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. So if that verse that we said earlier is, God will not put on you more than you can bear, then somebody owes Paul an apology as well and a clarification. Because he says, we went through stuff and it was beyond measure. We couldn't even put a number to it. It was so great. It was above our strength, so that we despaired even of life. We were done. We thought, this is it. This is over. I'm done with all of this. This is too much. He even said, yes, we even had the sentences of death in ourselves. We were about to lose our lives. We were about to be done completely. So don't quote the verse and say, well, God will not put on you more than you can bear. No, he will put on you more than you can bear sometimes, so that you will come to the place of coming to the end of every one of these. Because if you don't come to the end of yourself sometimes, these will never be removed from your life. And you can't have these in your life and have these in your life and expect this to be your life. If you're gonna follow Jesus all the way to the resurrection, you've got to die to this stuff. Now, I thought we would illustrate this today in a way I think we can all visually understand. So Kay has agreed already to be my volunteer today. Kay, come on up on the stage, give Kay a hand. That's what happens when you sit in the front row. You get called out sometimes. So Kay, if you'll just stand right there. I've got some stuff down here I wanna get. So Trip, maybe you can come help me hand these to me. So Kay, we're gonna use these boxes today, which by the way, these are light. I'm not really hurting Kay today in any way. I'm not gonna throw them at you either. She doesn't even know what I'm about to do. I just told her, said, Kay, would you do this today? Yes. And I said, okay, I'm not gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. Kay, would you hold that box? See, life comes at us sometimes and there's weight, there's pressure, and we have to care. There's just the parts of life that bear responsibility. We have to work, we have responsibilities, we're parenting, we're loving our spouse, we're serving the Lord, we're doing all this. And man, sometimes life just, here's another box for you. You can do whatever you want. If you want to rearrange how you hold all that, you can do whatever you want. Whatever you want to do. Because sometimes life has extra burdens with it and they're bigger than what we thought. And man, they can sometimes mount up and you can, I need you to hold this box too, okay? Whatever you want to do here, but you need to hold it. You got it? Yeah, sometimes life has extra burdens to it, right? Yeah. Does she ever say that, Jerry? Life, yeah. Okay, good. Jerry wants to be very still here and quiet. So, and really, no fault of Kay or any of us that life has weight to it at times. It just does. It's just how we live. Jesus said that even all those who seek to live godly in Jesus Christ would suffer persecution. There's a weight that goes with that. There's a weight to life. There's a weight to being a husband and laying down your life for your wife. There's a weight to being a wife and loving your husband and following him. And there's a weight that comes with raising children. And the more people you still back there, Kay? You good? Yeah, okay, whatever you wanna do. So sometimes the weight gets big. Now, when it does, God has a purpose and a plan. His desire is that we be humble and vulnerable, submissive, and even admit our weakness. So the great thing for Kay to do when the weight becomes, I see you back there, barely. when the weight becomes more than she can bear, the right thing would be for Kay to cry out to the Lord and to cry out to her husband and to her friends and her family and say, y'all, I'm carrying a weight right now. It's hard. It's difficult. That's the right response. But if Kay doesn't do that, and instead she picks up, I can do this. I'll do this by myself, and I don't need anybody's help. Leave me alone. I'm not doing it. Just don't tell me what to do. No, don't tell me to carry those boxes different. Nope, stop it. I'm not going to listen to you. I got this. If that's Kay's approach, that's not what God wants for her. But here's where God is faithful. God will bring more to Kay. See ya. More than she can actually bear. You okay, Kay? Okay, okay. Now, this would also be the right time for Kay to acknowledge humble, vulnerable, submissive, and weak, not because God wants to crush her and make her less than who she is, but because he has so much more for her if she would just bring herself to the cross, if she would just die to her stubbornness. And so sometimes God will even bring more than we can bear so that we will get to the place of being humble. Okay, I don't know what you're doing back there, but there's just some more here. In fact, I had more boxes. I wasn't through. It was more than you could bear, huh? She's I'm done. Stay with her just for a second. This is what happens to us sometimes. We just say, forget it. Just forget the whole thing. I want out of this situation, circumstance, relationship, church. I want out of life. I've been in this place. I've walked in this space. I know people in this space. And the more you keep resisting and refusing, the more God will apply the pressure until you come to the place of being humble and vulnerable, submissive and weak. Because there was more that she could have carried if she would have said, hey, I need some help. If she could have said, would you pray for me? Jerry, would you help me carry the weight? She could have called on her friends here. She could have called on me. She could have called on Truett. She could have done a lot of things, but that would have meant she'd had to have let go of who she once was in order to follow Jesus. Give Kay a hand. Thank you, Kay. Good stuff. Thank you. And so often that's what happens to us. Instead of responding with humility and vulnerability and being submissive and weak, we just say, nope, I will not fill in the blank. I will not apologize or ask forgiveness of my spouse for what I said or did. I will not reconcile with that person that I'm at odds with. I will not follow the Lord and what he's asked me to do. I'll do it myself. I'll hold on to my own beliefs. Don't tell me what to do because I don't want to look foolish. And you think, why would God create such a path for us like this? In the passage where Paul says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, he answers our question the next verse, and he says this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. This is what God has for each of us. Can you imagine an entire just church full of people who all said, I am willing to do whatever God asks me to do, and I will be humble and submissive and vulnerable and weak for Jesus. I'll do whatever he wants. I'll follow him because that is the path he has for us. those who do will find life. But those who continue to walk in stubbornness and arrogance and pride, what's ahead for them is more pain until they come to the end of themselves. The pattern that we'll see over and over again in this series is this. First the cross, then the resurrection. You can't get to resurrection until you've come to the cross. So today, this is our encouragement. Don't get stuck at this part in your life. And don't react to all the boxes that God keeps bringing to you. Don't be so angry about every one of those. Don't get so caught up in those when what he's trying to do is free you. Folks get up in arms about all the boxes and they complain about their life. They refuse to yield and they suffer and they'll do anything but follow Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? The call of the gospel is for you and I to humble ourselves. I know that God is using things in all of our lives right now to bring us to this place. Would you, in your own heart before him, say, God, forgive me for complaining about the very thing you're using to bring me to life. Forgive me for being so angry and stubborn and refusing what you are using to bring resurrection power in my life. I want to walk and follow you. Father, I thank you for your word that is so true and relevant and that you're still calling followers today. I pray that the spirit that Jesus invites us to would be us, that we would be those who deny ourselves, who take up our cross daily, die to what we want, what makes us look good, what benefits us, and instead we'd be willing to lay it all aside for your glory and your sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.